The Youth's Instructor, October 14, 1897. The Light of the World, Part 2. The Youth's Instructor, October 14, 1897. The Light of the World, Part 2. Every soul is responsible for the talents entrusted to him, and in order for each to meet his individual responsibility, he must advance step by step as Christ leads the way. He must stand on the high and holy ground which the progress of continually revealed truth has for ages and centuries been preparing for him. Accumulated light from Christ now shines amid the moral darkness of superstition and heresies that are flooding the world, and Christ's followers are to come behind in no good thing, but to possess and reveal to the world, in character and works, that light which is appropriate for the age in which we live. The path of holiness does not lie on a level with the world. It is cast up, and whosoever will look up from the sordid, unsatisfying things of this life and seek diligently the way, the truth, and the life, determined to follow Jesus, bearing his cross, will have the happiness of walking in this path, filled with the joy and rejoicing of the just. To those who follow this path, who walk in the way of God's commandments, it will be as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. There are men professing Christ who are unconverted in heart. They are looking to the world, following the customs and practices of men, and they do not reflect the light of heaven. The things of the world interpose between God and their souls. "When thou art converted," said Christ to Peter, "strengthen thy brethren." Unless the converting power of God molds the life, everything within the sphere of our influence will become dwarfed and die for want of the bright rays of the Sun of Righteousness. It is the design of God that his children shall become bright, shining lights to the world. But if that light is placed under a bushel, who is benefited by its rays? There is danger that God's commandment-keeping people will be found, as were the Jews, weighed in the balance of the heavenly sanctuary and found wanting. Christ rebuked the Jews because, while in small matters they were so exact, paying tithes of mint and anise and cumin, they neglected the weightier matters of the law, mercy, justice, and the love of God. Our first work must be personal. The heart must be cleansed from every defilement and sanctified by the truth. The love of Christ must burn upon the altar of the soul. Then, and then only, can we commend to others the things which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. And when we have done all in our power to dispel the darkness of error and doubt, of unbelief and infidelity in the world, we must trust in God to do the rest. We must leave the issue in God's hands and not allow our interest and love to grow cold because iniquity abounds. God calls for men who will bear a living testimony for him, men who realize that they have been purchased at an infinite price, that the world of which they form a part has cost the life of the Son of God. He wants his church to be composed of faithful witnesses who will be a spectacle unto the world, to angels and to men. Will you not, then, my brother, my sister, arouse and search the Scriptures for yourselves, not only to make sure that your doctrines are correct, but to learn how you may live more fully to the glory of God and how you may save souls for whom Christ has died. Christ's words to his followers are, "Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." In our lives, we must learn to show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light.